the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Thanks to Kerr's Hire, another edition of the Cat Attack Podcast, AFLW style. Tom King with you, and also with me, Cat Star, well, sideline Cat Star, inactive Cat Star, but still a star nonetheless, Renee Gehring. Hello, Renee.
Hello, Kingy.
Let's talk round two. Let's get Saturday night in the rearview mirror. Another honourable, gallant, feisty performance from the Cats. Unfortunately, the end result, not there.
Yeah, look, no, certainly lots to take out of it, and we're still on this positive trajectory, I think, in improvements and things that we want to see, but certainly wasn't the result that we're after, and again, a missed opportunity. We would all say that it was there for the taking, and we just let them take it in the end. So
I noted we called the game on K-Rock Footy on Saturday night, and the thing I noted was that if you looked at the team list, you had a Carlton lineup with 12 players who had 25 games or more, and if you looked at the Geelong list, I think it was only about five. And that can be telling in games, I reckon. Even in the infancy of AFLW, Carlton now, you know, a lot of girls who have been in the competition since day one in 2017, Geelong obviously now into a fourth season. Is that something that gets factored in when you're talking about the differing experiences of the two teams?
Well, I think so, and I think if you look at Carlton being one of those sides that we're in its infancy, the girls know each other really well, and we're in round two of a 10-round season, and we've had 9 new players on our list, and the preseason's been great, and we've got lots of things that we're really excited about, and we've certainly seen that in the first couple of games, but we're certainly 8. And I suppose a less experienced side in terms of games played, but also in getting used to each other and everyone's strengths and those sorts of things as well. But it doesn't say that we can't do it. I don't think you can get a well-experienced team out there, and they've still got to put the football together for 4 quarters and play the consistent footy. So it's certainly not an excuse that we're using.
Without giving away state secrets, I know Dan had the girls in a meeting for quite a while post game. Can you just give us a brief overview of what he talked about without obviously going too in depth and giving away stuff that you shouldn't be?
He was just again reinforcing that there was moments there and the positive things that we've been trying to work on that we were executing, but again just highlighted some of the things that weren't, and then what we'll go away and practice, but knowing that we've got a Friday night game this week, like, yep, that's there. We learn from it and take those key things that we still need to improve and be consistent in, and bring that next week. If we want to be winning, we need to do that, and we all need to step up and embrace those things and just refine a few things too.
He spoke about post-game, Dan, that when he did his media commitment, said he spoke about the finding the balance. The contested footy is fantastic and the tackling, but Carlton was just allowed too much ball on the outside, and when you get so much ball on the outside, you're going to score, and that's in the end they did, and were able to break you open a couple of times.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was noted. They used the outside really well and got themselves out into space, and that was so probably something that we need to be doing, and every side, I think, you can get the ball out into open space and you've got that grass to work with, and that's when you're going to score the goals and turn the ball over quickly and get it down inside 50. So we had the ball down out into the ground well and truly enough in that first quarter and then throughout the rest of the game to score. But, if we can get it on the outside a bit more, we'll certainly be more competitive and hopefully get better entries and so forth.
5 players missed through health and safety protocols. We knew on Friday night when the team came out that Nina, Sophie van der Heuvel, Julia Crockett-Grills, and there's one more, and Georgie Rankin was going to miss. Yeah. And then Saturday morning it came to light that Mads Maguire was also going to come out. How early in the week did the club know that there was going to be some issues and that it wasn't a last-minute adjustment that Dan and the coaching staff had to make?
No, so it was earlier in the week. Obviously, we're all testing, every club's testing for training sessions before we go in. So it certainly wasn't all at once. So, yeah, we had the girls out from the first half of the week, most of them. And then, yeah, we do a test game day, which is the same consistency across the league, the game day test for all staff and players. And unfortunately, Mads Maguire was the one to find out there. So you've got your emergencies ready to go. And I certainly think this season's going to be one more than ever that those emergencies need to be ready to go, because they might get a last minute call up to go. But yeah, look, we've got the, as I think we said last week, around our list and being a healthy list at the moment, that we've got people to choose from and people to come in. In saying that, we know those five girls started the week before, so they certainly were, they're important players for us. It's not saying that other girls didn't step up and play their role because they had the opportunity, but yeah, three of them being part of our PLG, that's, they're not just quality people, players, but they're also, they've been chosen into the leadership group because they bring other assets to our game. And I think that those steady heads were missed, as that's going to happen throughout the season for every team. So, yeah.
How frustrated was Nina that she has to wait another week to play a game at home?
Oh, look, I think that, I think frustration, I think there's probably other lots of different emotions going on there. You train all pre-season and you just want to play every one of those 10 games this year that it is, and then plus finals. But I wouldn't want to be out there against her this weekend, let's just say that. I think she'll have plenty of energy and fire in the belly to get it done out on GMHBA this Friday.
So will Mads Maguire have to miss Friday night as well because she's tested positive on Saturday morning?
I believe so. I believe the, 7 days. So it'll be the protocols to follow. So, unfortunately, it is what it is. But, every club's facing it.
Yeah, that's some level of cruel, though, isn't it, that you miss one and just because of scheduling you end up missing two?
That's it. And that's going to happen, isn't it, depending on your turnarounds and when people find out if they do get a positive result or if they're impacted by isolation. And, It is what it is when everyone's working at the same time and you can limit your exposure so much. But now that, people are living their lives as they have to, there's certain risks you can't avoid.
Yep. Let's look at some positives. I want to start with Gabby Featherston because what a debut. And so it looks so composed down back. Found herself a couple of times contending with the Carlton defence under pressure, and she was fantastic.
She was. I love watching Gabby out there, actually. I didn't get to watch a lot of her in her junior footy and through the Falcons. And at training, it's very different to what it is when you're watching them play. And I think that she just stepped out there and I think she even said it to one of the coaches, like she just went and played footy and she did it very well. I think, in the back line, she was a steady head, but I think that even one passage of play through the middle of the ground where she received a handball from one of the midfielders and then took off and, kicked it into the forward line and with composure. So certainly things you want to be seeing in someone's first game and an exciting career ahead of her, I'm sure.
And a different role slightly for her because she spent most of her time at the Falcons as a forward / ruck and didn't play a lot in defence. But Geelong likes, I think, the hybrid that she can become as a player that she... I know this is probably a very big comparison, but she might become Mark Blitzarves-like.
Yeah, well, potentially. Look, I think that her versatility is an asset, and I think in a game like AFLW, it's Geordie Ivy's an example of it, that if you've got players that can play, that have played different positions and other body type, that they can go forward, they can go back and bring those strengths to those different areas. That's what coaches need at times, especially in games where it is six in a side and you've got potential injuries and things like that. You need people to be flexible in their roles.
Yep. Georgie Prasparkas a couple of times, probably quite early, and I'm not sure whether the moment got the better of her playing against her sister. She took a little while to work into the contest, but when she did, she gave us a couple of really enjoyable moments. The one where we would have been a great goal if she had finished it off, I think it was in the third quarter, where she took a couple on down towards the river end. And then in the last quarter from the first ball up, she grabbed it and burst out of the middle as well.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, she's an exciting player to watch, and we're going to see more of that, I think. It depends on how the ball comes in and sometimes which way all ball bounces, but she certainly didn't put lack of effort in the weekend and certainly still helped move that ball forward for us and yeah, got in and under. And as you said, contested game is something that we've really liked what we're seeing the last couple of games. And, yeah, it's good to see.
And modelling career might be on hold. How's her schnoz?
Yeah, she's got a bit of a black eye, actually. So it's just gone to one side. So, yeah, broken noses are never nice. So it was good that it wasn't to that extent. But, yeah, just more went into the eye, which it sometimes does when you cop one right in the middle. So, nah, she's feeling all right from what I understand.
Was it Rachel Kearns that got her in friendly fire?
Yeah, yeah. And we know how Rach goes in and that's what we love about her. So we need her doing that. But, yeah, unfortunately, I think she's copped the hip or, yeah, Rach's side straight into the face. So never nice.
So it was Gunjaka on Shear last week and this week it was Kearns on Prasparkas. Can you start doing it to the opposition?
Yeah, look, hey, no, don't need to do that to anyone, really, in terms of ending up with black eyes and sore heads. But, no, look, it's good that she's feeling all right and doesn't have to have any facial surgery. That's what we're pleased to see.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was going to say, because an incident like that could have been a heck of a lot worse, either a concussion or the like. If it's a concussion, wouldn't be playing this week. Thankfully, like Chloe Shear, it's just more a knock and able to pick herself up and dust herself off and get going again.
Exactly right.
Claudia Gunjaka's name I just mentioned. She had a very quiet one in round one. We can't hide from that. She only had one possession. But, gee, I think from the external, and I know you can't really can't say a lot, but externally I suspect Dan Lowther in his mind is it doesn't matter how Claudia Gunjaka's going, she's going to play every game just to get her games under her belt at AFLW level. And I suspect she'll then roll into another VFLW season and be better for that again. And in 2023 we'll see a really, really good Claudia Gunjaka, but there were some great signs. She has no fear flying for the footy.
Yeah, look, I couldn't tell you what Dan's thinking in terms of selection. That's certainly a tough one the coaches have. But, look, even round one for her, stats aren't everything. And I think that, yeah, one disposal, but how many times did she bring it to ground even in round one? And she, yeah, she clunked a few on the weekend, but she also creates those contests that that then our small forwards can get in there and utilise. And I suppose that's where we just need to make most more of our opportunities when we're getting it down there. But forwards are certainly playing a role, and I think that's what's putting her in the side.
Yep. One for the old-timers, Maddie McMahon in the team of the week.
Yeah, she played a good game, didn't she? Yeah, I think 10 steps from what we were talking about. Plenty of... Reed just reads the ball really well, doesn't she?
And that's her netball/basketball background, isn't it?
Yeah, netball and basketball. Yeah, just comes in at the right time, and she played a role back in the back line, and as she does week in and week out. But yeah, I think she would be pleased with how she contributed on the weekend, and as were we.
There was one contest, and it might have been against Darcy Vesio out on the outer side where Maddie spoiled, and actually the spoil, she actually ended up with the footy. It might have been, was it Vesio? It might have been, I'm not sure exactly who it was, but I think it was.
It might have been Vesio. Yeah, she spoiled and then took off with the plate, like tucked it under her arm and took off and just like with composure, which was, it actually started, I think that might have been the ball that ended up with Gabby, started a passage of play, a couple of handballs and then got it to Gabby and then inside 50. So, yeah, look, that's what you want of your backliners, isn't it? Just to not only spoil, but then if you can take off and start the attack from there, more of that, please.
Phoebe McWilliams blows up the GPS surely, because on Saturday night her work rate was phenomenal. I can't count the amount of times that she marked the ball on a halfback flank. Probably sometimes maybe to the detriment of the team. It's great that she provides an option coming out, but who's it going to next? And obviously it does lessen the options going forward, but you can't fault Phoebe's work rate.
No, definitely. Like, look, yeah, she does get up the ground really well to provide those opportunities. And I think, look, we had, more than ever, I think, in terms of our tall forwards presenting. Darby was another one. Kate Darby had a great game and was another one that was connecting, even Geordie starting that off the back line and then through to Claude's as well. So I think, it's getting that balance right of when you need it up the ground, and Phoebe often does that. So, credit to her.
I know Phoebe's is listening to, well, not as we record this, but she will be listening because she was good enough last week for the Cats website. Actually, she had a listen and quoted a couple of things you said. So thanks, Phoebs, for it in a public forum. And, of course, the Cats have got their own podcast that Phoebs and the crew are doing every couple of weeks, so keep a listen out for that. No shortage of AFLW podcasting you do. And even Sarah Black joined us from the AFL website, and she does Credit to the Girls podcast as well. And Sarah was fantastic on Carrick Footy on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? That, like, yeah, when you want to have a listen and hear what's going on across the league, there's plenty of things to listen to and to get involved in. So, great to have Phoebe listening.
Love your work, Phoebe. And sorry, I tried to retire you off the week before when I interviewed you. Nah, I didn't really. But just ask the question of, you know, obviously at age 36, you know, how much footy's left, but probably a little bit. Probably a little cruel.
You can't ask questions, Kingy, in women's footy when the game's only in that sixth season. Yeah, it's a bit different. Age is just a number.
Yes, I did ask Asta O'Connor about round four last year what she was thinking, and she goes, "Oh, come on, Kingy, trying to retire me off?" And at the end of the year, she retired. So I've sort of got that credit in the bank, so to speak.
I think it depends how much footy you play and how that body's holding up, I think, is more the question.
Absolutely. All right, Collingwood Friday night. Great chance for footy fans to get along. I think the weather's going to be pretty nice, 7-10 bounce. So with the crowd sitting in the Brownlow stand, you'll be sitting in the shade and be able to watch not only the Cats improve, but you'll get to watch a good footy team in Collingwood who have been pretty impressive in knocking over Carlton and St Kilda to start the season and are being talked about in, you know, in premiership terms.
Yeah, certainly. I think we know Collingwood every year have been a really strong side, and they're a really contested team that puts a whole lot of pressure onto their opposition. So we're really excited about the game, and I think the Fire's there, and certainly haven't been content with how the results in the last two games. So the girls will be really excited to put it out there and to continue to build and refine a few of the things that we've wanted to improve on in the first two rounds. So.
All right, 7-10 bounce. I think the gates open around 6 o'clock. Only $10 for adults. Kids are in free. So if you're looking for something to do on Friday night, well worth a couple of hours of your time to go along and support the girls. I think the crowd came in at just over 2,000 last week, which is not a bad little number.
Yeah, I think it's interesting times at the moment, isn't it? And I suppose when people are doing what they're doing to try and keep themselves healthy, but at the same time, the AFL got all the protocols in place to look after everyone. So, yeah, we were certainly pleased with those people who got there, and certainly felt like a few more than that, that's for sure, certain moments in the game. And they showed the replay of Perez getting her head knocked. It was certainly very loud at that point with the gasps and a few of the highlight moments as well. So, we look forward to seeing lots of people there if they can make it Friday night.
All right. Some questions for you, Renee. These have come in from Winty on Big Footy. What are the main differences in the coaching styles of Paul Hood and Daniel Lowther?
Ooh, good question. Look, they're both teachers by trade. So there's some similarities in, I think, their way of thinking in terms of, I suppose, as teachers, we try and understand that everyone learns differently. So their approaches to teaching in different ways for different learning styles is there in getting alongside, and you might have to explain something certain way to certain players, which all coaches, I think, get. But if you've had an experience in teaching, and particularly with younger kids, Dan's been in primary schools, that's something that we've seen in him. I think with Hoodie, maybe over the we were in our earlier years, particularly probably the VFL times, and then he probably got a bit harder on us as the time went on, but understood that in those early years we had a fair few players new to the game completely. So in all he does, he's pretty encouraging, and I wouldn't say that he's too positive or anything like that, but just really, I suppose, making sure that players were still feeling good about how they played, but also trying to improve. Whereas I think Dan's come in at a point where we as a playing group, we want to be better. We're not an early, like a new club. We don't want to put that name on ourselves. And he's well and truly embraced that and says it how it is and tells us what we need to work on. And I think that's been really embraced this year. So, I think the other differences really, I don't know. I'd have to think about that one. I'll come back to you if I think of anything else next week.
All right. Also, how have Chloe Shear and Chantelle Emmonson fed into the side, and did they provide any insights into how Adelaide and Melbourne go about things?
Yeah, they've both been great, I think, on field and off. Chantelle obviously has come straight into our leadership group based on the way that she's come into pre-season, the way that she works, the high level of standard that she sets, not just for herself but for each other. And she's not the first, she'll be one of the first to say, girls, this is not good enough, let's execute, let's move on. And through that, I suppose, is sharing her experience in what's worked previously at Melbourne. Not so much, we haven't, we're not playing them, so we haven't necessarily picked away at their game or anything like that. And same thing with Chloe. It's been more, what have you seen do differently in terms of, in certain areas that could benefit or that we could learn from in terms of how a certain program might work and how other clubs might be doing things. And that's been something that we've learned from other girls coming from previous clubs before now. I think Chloe, we know what she can bring in the forward line in terms of in front of goals herself, but also the feeding in. And I think I'm excited to see more of that as the weeks go on. And same thing with Chantelle. I think she's very efficient by foot and by hand, actually, and finds really good spots all over the ground. And, love what she's doing. Obviously playing up on the wing in the absence of Nina and Soph on the weekend and Croc. So played her role there well, but obviously she can be used in the back line or on the wing if we need her to.
Yep. Chloe just didn't seem herself last week, and I know it wasn't concussion the week before, because if it had been, she wouldn't have played. But, you know, week turnaround, but, you know, had the knock and that last week, and you know, maybe on reflection that, you know, it maybe impacted her a little bit more than potentially it initially appeared.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know. I suppose some days it can all work for you, and others it doesn't. And I certainly think that there's days where players would walk away and be like, I wish I did more. But there's also days where if the ball doesn't bounce your way or it doesn't, you can't utilise opportunities that aren't there sometimes. So, there'll be certain things that she wants to work on, like we all do always want to continue to. But, I'm excited. We know what she can do, and, hopefully we'll see the best of her in the weeks to come.
How has Rachel Kern settled in Geelong after travelling halfway around the world, and how impressed have the coaching staff been at her ability to adapt from the Gaelic ball to AFL, to a Sharon so quickly?
Yeah, I think everyone's been very impressed with what Rachel can bring. From her first session, she was like, she's got her own technique, like a little bit of a style that she has to her kicking, but it's really efficient and powerful. Like if you,
I didn't back her to kick the goal on air. I said
I did hear that actually at the end of your after you chatted with her on Saturday night, but she can kick it, and whether it's drop punt or from a snap, she's a very powerful athlete. And I think a lot of that work goes to what she's done at Gaelic and then coming straight in, and credit to our strength and conditioning staff to maintain that and to continue to build on that. But, she works hard and she just sees the ball and wants to go in, and she's being keen, eager to learn. So that's, I think, something that's you want as a coach. And she sought out coaches and finding time with them, and then also some of the Irish guys and the men's program, when they were able to catch up a bit more, she sought out time to catch up with them. So she's certainly making the most of the people around her. And, she's been exciting so far. And I think I've had a few people say, I'm loving watching that, Rach. And obviously, we all are.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got her $1.01 that the match review officer might catch up with her during the year, because she'll just inadvertently get herself in the wrong spot going for the footy.
Yeah, who knows? Let's hope not.
I won't expect you to answer that one, but everybody loves her. Kamikaze is probably a good word to describe her a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, look, she's I suppose we want to go in with intensity, and that's what she does at every opportunity she has. So.
Hey, couple of Cat to the Future and Daz Bronco, Patience, have both mentioned something, and it was also something that appeared very evident on Saturday night more than against North Melbourne, and we touched on it with Claudia and Phoebe, the marking ability of The team seems at a higher level this year. Is that something that was specifically worked on, or is it just, you know, for some girls, it's just worked so far through the first couple of rounds?
We worked on a lot of fundamentals throughout the preseason, and marking being one of them. But, I think everyone's continues to work on their own individual craft, and that's one area that certainly improved. Both the training and games, we're seeing that. And I think we can also, put a credit to the strength and conditioning. I think when you're more powerful and explosive through the work you're doing in that, that's going to pay off in a marking contest as well. So,
Cat to the future. Does it feel like we've intentionally stacked our list to have better defenders, or have we just developed better there? Feels like it's our best line at the moment.
I think we've had a strong confidence in our back line in the last few years. They're certainly a strong group that's probably maintained. That's probably, I would say, be the line that's changed the least in the last few years. Of players that have been in our side, there's been personnel that have come in and out, Geordie Ivey being an example of that, Georgie Rankin, obviously coming to the wing, she started in the back line.
Yep.
But we've got really controlled heads in there. I think we've got three of our leaders in the back line as well. And, again, that helps in having consistency down there. But it's certainly, I don't know, I'm not one of the recruiters to know who you choose and those sorts of things. And, yeah, I suppose you certainly try and choose the best people for every role on the ground. But, yeah, we've been pleased with their performance, not just this year but in previous seasons as well. And we can, continue to set up our attack off the great work that they're doing back there. So, they work really hard. They're quite a tight-knit group. And I think that's evidenced in the way that they perform.
Yeah, you'd have to say McDonald, McMahon, Carrick have probably all now played 20-plus games together, which gives them a great little, chemistry that you need down there.
Definitely, yeah. And you need to be able to communicate and talk. And I think I said about Carrick and Meg Mac last week, they do that. And McMahon, as we've talked about, comes in and can read the play really well, and they all play their role. It's not about one of them dominating. It's about them working as a unit. And,
All right. Cat to the Future also said, feels like a great young group of future players are being put together, but with only short contracts available and limited money, it may be hard to keep everyone here for that long. Do you have any thoughts on anything the club or the community can do to make them feel an important piece of our future story and entrench them in the environment? Well, I want to start off by saying, as we touched on last week, Georgia Prasparkas is working at Adventure Park. How much more local can you get?
That's right. Look, I think the club's doing a great job in helping all of those girls that have moved here from different places feel really welcome. And a number of the girls work for the footy club in the members department or in the cat shop, so forth as well, which has been great. And, in the Geelong community. I think it is hard with the contracts the way they are, and that's for everyone in the whole competition. If you are moving somewhere and away from home or balancing a part-time job or uni and things like that. I think that from my experience and chatting with the girls, they certainly feel really welcomed and loving living in Geelong, and they catch up coffees or go for walks and things like that. We do recovery together. There's a really good vibe amongst the group that they're feeling connected, and you just only hope when next season comes around that we can maintain, and which we have for the last few seasons. We've really been really lucky that I don't think it's luck, actually. I think it's quite strategic that players have stuck around.
Yep. Obviously, we had Nicole Livingston, of course, who's the head of women's football at the AFL on before the game on Saturday night. And, of course, we go to 18 teams in AFLW7, and so four of those get added. Two of them are going to be in Melbourne. So there is going to have to be some concessions and dispersal of talent. So there will be some players that are running around in the hoops this year that are probably going to be finding themselves elsewhere next year. And that's just the scenario that we live in.
It'll be, I suppose it's something you don't really think about till this season's over, and we hope that's post-grand final. And the girls are all too happy to go anywhere. you can only do what you can do in making sure that players feel a part of the club culture and want that loyalty. Wait and see what life brings, I suppose, at that point in time for all of our playing lists.
Absolutely. All righty. We've got a game of footy Saturday night, Collingwood, of course, at 7:10. Hopefully a good crowd there if you feel safe enough to be out in public at the moment. I know it's not for everyone, but K-Rock Footy, not broadcasting this week, but we will have coverage via krockfootball.com.au and bring you the latest news. Kerr's Hire bringing us the Cat Attack podcast, and of course, Renee Gehring more than willing to give up her time to have a chat to me every Wednesday afternoon, although we're going to move it to Tuesday next week, aren't we, because the girls are training Wednesday night.
That is right. Yeah, that'll be great. Tuesday night next week.
Do you get to go on the little road trip up to Brisbane?
I'm hoping so. Just got to keep playing my role well for you. So I'll just make sure I'm doing the right thing down on the bench and don't do anything too silly to hopefully get a Guernsey.
All right, mate. Well done. I appreciate your time again and look forward to talking to you next Wednesday.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, King.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.